Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Turn it up.
This is what John Harbaugh had to say.
I haven't seen the tweet. It's an ongoing process. Thinking about Lamar all the time. Thinking about him as our quarterback. We're building our offense around that idea.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We love him.
John Harbaugh, I believe, is proving himself to be the greatest frontman since Mick Jagger.
Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Robert Griffin III. Coming up, Panthers running back Miles Sanders, San Diego State head coach Brad Dutcher. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here on Roku. In the Roku channel, we're free on all Roku devices, select Samsung Smart TV. We're also free on Amazon Fire TV, the Roku app, and the RokuChannel.com. Brian Dutcher of San Diego State University will be joining us in about 20 minutes' time. We're all sitting around watching what's going down at the annual meeting for the National Football League and the conversation being had about why Lamar Jackson doesn't have an offer sheet from another team. Just had a very interesting exchange with Robert Griffin III, who also dropped a that it does appear he's part of the ownership group that's put $6 billion on the table for the Washington Commanders. He said that going out the door.
That's what I heard, yeah. That's awesome.
Okay, very good. And so we had a great chat with him, we're turning to the phone lines right here on the Rich Eisen Show and welcoming in the new Carolina Panther, formerly from the NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles. He just signed a nice four-year, $25 million deal with Carolina earlier this month. In free agency on the Rich Eisen Show is Miles Sanders. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How you doing, Rich?
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you having me on the show, man.
You got it. Thanks for coming on, and thanks for calling in, and I appreciate it. You know, yesterday we were going to chat yesterday, and all holy heck broke loose, so I appreciate you accommodating to call in today. What led you to Carolina and not staying in Philadelphia, Miles?
I'm gonna be honest. My guy Deuce, man. Me and him built a real bond, a real connection in Philadelphia, and he was probably the main guy that believed in me in the draft, you know, and believed that I was the best back in the draft, and got me to Philly, and you know, spent two great years with him, and you know, continue my career with Philadelphia and accomplished everything that I did. And, you know, just we always talked and hope that we back together and, you know, keep this journey going. So.
And now Deuce Staley is the one you're referring to, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's such a pushover, isn't he, that Deuce Staley?
No, he's not.
Well, he's the exact opposite of pushover. So what do you like about him? You like the hard coaching? Is that what you're saying? You like it?
Yeah, that's definitely something that I'm used to my whole life, and you know, the tough love and everything. But it's more than a football that me and him connect on. You know, we talk a lot about life stuff, and you know, he's more like a mentor to me too. So, and I know he brings the best out of me regardless. So.
And so now you're part of this mix where there's going to be, it appears, a first overall chosen rookie quarterback. You don't have to. Screw it. Answer the question if you don't mind. Do you know who it is, Miles Sanders? Do you know who they traded to go?
No, and honestly, I'm going to be honest. I tried to ask, but no, I don't.
Did you ask? Did you really ask? You call up somebody? Did you ask?
Yeah.
Deuce?
I asked the coach. Coach Wright and everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
They want to tell me.
What does he say?
They're going to pick the best. They're going to pick the best player available.
Come on, he's giving you that answer. Miles Sanders.
Yeah, he gave me that answer.
He's paying you. They're paying you 4 years, $25 million. You don't have the in here. They're keeping it that tight.
No. I respect that. I believe that they're going to pick the best quarterback available. So we're going to see.
Who do you think it is?
I don't know. I don't want to answer that question. I don't know. I just hope it's somebody that's ready to ball out.
Well, let's talk about your former quarterback then. Give me your favorite Jalen Hurts story, whether it's in the huddle, whether it's in the locker room. Give me your favorite Jalen Hurts story, Miles Sanders. What do you got?
I gotta say he gives some pretty decent speeches before and after the game. You know, he's gotten real good at that. we make fun of him because we think he practices in a mirror or something.
What do you mean? Hold on a second. What do you mean? Give me more on that.
He's been mic'd up before. You guys hear his stuff. It's just funny. Throughout the week and everything, we just think he practices because they'd be really good. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, mate, you know, so you don't think it's off the cuff? You think he's, you know?
Oh yeah, for sure. That's the thing. It's definitely probably off the top of his head. That's what he usually tells me. But
well,
it'd be funny though.
I kind of think it's pretty neat, Miles. And if you don't mind me making the comparison here, you're both second round choices. You know, you came from the spot where Saquon was and you followed Saquon, and then you also followed him to the league, and everybody thought, you know, Saquon's first round, your second round, what can you do? And Hurts is second round and, you know, Tua's first round and what can he do? And you guys go to the Super Bowl together and damn near win it in the same backfield. I'm wondering if you feel a similar story to Jalen Hurts's, Miles.
Yeah, I've been. I told him before. I've definitely been a fan of him since college. You know, I love his. I respect it and love his journey and how he went about it. And you know, it's kind of similar to me. Just you know, having to wait your turn. You know, but he has a lot of success in college, but having to go through what he went through, and I love the way he handled it. And you know, and he is where he is today. I mean, you can't be mad at that. And you look at my situation too. So having the success I had, and having a, you know, I guess trying to get that Saquon, you know, overlook on me off my back. So you know, but I respect Saquon too, man. That's my dog.
Of course. I mean, I don't mean that to create a, you know, stir it up or anything like that. I just know narratives, and certainly since I'm a guy sitting on a draft set and sitting here on a show and also NFL Network, I know what people talk about and how they view things. And I'm wondering if that's part of the reason why you're going to Carolina too, as a free agent, and you can, you know, sort of put a belt. Like, have they told you they put in a bell cow around your neck, if you will, and give you the ball a significant amount of times, Miles?
We're going to see. You know, we got some great things planned. We got a lot of great pickups, and they already have a great team too, as far as defensive ends and some good receivers on the squad too, and some great running backs that have been holding it down too. So the whole team in general, we have a good squad and a great coaching all around too. Not to mention that, and so I'm just ready, and I'm ready for whatever.
Carolina Panthers Pro Bowl running back Miles Sanders here on the Rich Eisen Show. I had James Bradberry on yesterday, and you know, we strolled down the memory lane of the end of the game in the Super Bowl. What was, from your perspective, when you saw that flag fly standing on the sidelines, thinking at the very least you're going to get an opportunity if your defense holds to try and win the game at the final seconds, but you saw that flag flying? What was your thoughts on that at the time?
Honestly, it was kind of one of those moments, and I'm pretty sure everybody on the team can pretty agree with me, but it's pretty kind of one of those moments, just like, maybe I might have been it, you know, but you know, James had a great year, all pro, and I think he doesn't get as much respect as he deserves. You know, people can talk about the call, but the call was made, and there's nothing we can do about it, man. So
where were you? Were you on the opposite sideline? Obviously, did you see it clearly? Was your face in a tablet, or what were you doing at the time?
Yeah, I didn't see it really clearly. Right. But I saw the replay, and you know, it's just one of those. You hope it goes your way, but it doesn't. But I mean, it's hard to talk about. I'm not gonna lie, but it is what it is, man. I just hope I can do whatever I can to get back to that. To that big show, and hope we come up with the W.
All right, last two for you, Miles Sanders. Your Twitter handle is at Booby Miles, and then the Roman numerals for 24. Where'd you come up with that one? What do you got for me?
The 24 is still from college.
Okay.
I made that handle. Yeah, I made all my my social media handles when I was in college and just went with the name. And I've been getting called Booby Miles since I started playing football, you know, from the movie Friday Night Lights and stuff. So.
Well, I know where that comes from. I'm just wondering why. So because your first name is Miles, do you got that nickname yourself?
Yeah, and the fact that I played running back, too, so kind of like we're all together.
Okay.
You know? And I was always smiling, you know, in the movies, always smiling. So.
Okay. All right, so you're the same way, too. And then lastly, the Carolina Panthers are flying around the country looking at all the top quarterbacks at all these pro days, giving out dinners. Did you get a dinner from the Teppers, Miles? Did you get one?
No, I didn't get a dinner. But I respect. It's the quarterback, man. You gotta take care of the quarterback. You gotta cater to the quarterback. That's the number one guy on the team. I respect that. I'm not tripping.
No, I'm tripping. Okay. Let me do that for you. I know you have an agent, okay? But let me do that for you. I mean, Miles Sanders. I mean, do we have to tell the Teppers and the front office how many touchdowns you had last year? I've got it right here in front of me. Miles Sanders, 1,269 rushing yards for the Philadelphia Eagles. And you scored 11 times. You hit the end zone 11 times. I mean, I know they paid you and they have you on the team, but you got to get a dinner out of this. Come on.
They might got one saved for me, maybe.
Okay. Well, I mean, what would be your choice? Let's get this done. Let me get this done for you. What's your dinner? Like, if I could say the Teppers picking up the tab, Miles Sanders, where would you want to go? Where would you suggest?
I'm not really picky. I'm not too picky. You know, I can say I like to have a lot of sides. You know, try a lot of different things.
Okay. And, so you're talking steakhouse.
Yeah, if it's a steakhouse, I like a good steak. You know,
what do you got? What type of steak? What do you got? What do you want?
All right, don't judge me. Okay, I don't
know what well done. What a setup! Okay, all right. What do you got?
I like well done steak. I'm not gonna lie.
All right, dude, it's too late. I'm judging. But I'm judging.
I could do a little bit of pink to the point. It can get cooked to being well done.
What do you mean? Is it a texture thing? Is it a texture thing? You don't like the center?
All that red meat scares me. The red stuff scares me. I don't know. I don't like that.
Maybe we go medium well.
Medium well.
Just to try.
Medium well. Let's just try it. Okay. Then let's try and redeem this. The sides. What do we got? Cream corn. What do we got? French fries. Yeah. What do we got?
Cream corn. You know, if they got like a signature macaroni. You know.
Okay.
We can say. Okay, we can go fancy if we go on steakhouse. You
yeah,
can say.
It's the Teppers, Miles. This guy, you know his net worth. Don't worry, you got a great deal for you personally and your family. It's not making a dent in his net worth. So go for it. What do you got for me here? What do you got for me?
We can go with fried chicken lobster tails.
Nice.
I don't know if you ever had those.
No. Okay.
Very good.
Okay.
Some crispy shrimp. You know, I'm taking stuff from some Steak 48. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, look, man, go get the seafood tower. Go for it. I don't know if you're a wine drinker. If you are, the word screaming an eagle. Go for it and just see what he looks like.
Okay.
Then you'll really know if you're a Carolina Panther. If he doesn't bat an eye, don't worry about it. Go for it.
All right, good.
And Miles, as a brother who also used to like his steak well done, and I resisted for years, I'm here to tell you, bro, seriously, try it medium well. You won't go back. Okay. And I was stuck on this well done steak for years, bro, and until I finally broke
that. Why? You also have a problem with the red center?
Yeah, I did, because I don't like pink hamburgers, right? So I just associated
so
that.
So sushi.
I don't like that either.
Yeah, I like my hamburger well done. And then finally, I got picked on so much. I'm like, let me try this medium well. I think you will enjoy it. Give it a shot. Just for me to you.
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right. Listen, no pressure. But let's do, the Panthers will see this. I'm going to get you a free dinner. You deserve it. Come on.
Okay.
All right,
cool.
All right. Thanks for the call.
I hope.
And I just want to leave you in a better place than when you called in, and I hope I have. And I appreciate the time. Sure. I appreciate the
Absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely. This is an honor. Appreciate you.
Oh, right back at you. Thanks, Miles Sanders.
We got to go out for dinner.
Yes. I'm not, you know.
Sold.
I don't have the, I mean, I'm not a Tepper. You know what I mean? I just want to make sure, you know, We understand, you know, I don't own the Panthers when we choose the menu. Okay. But let's do it.
No, I understand.
Let me know when you're in LA, Miles. We'll have you here in studio and we'll do this thing. I'd love it. That would be great.
All right. That'd be cool. That'd be awesome.
Excellent. This is not like the LA thing where I say it and don't mean it. I truly do mean it. I'd like to do it.
Hey, don't take nothing but a call. I got you.
Okay. Thank you, Miles Sanders. You take care of yourself. You be well.
Yes, sir. You too.
Appreciate there you go. That's Miles Sanders. He's got a new contract and soon a free dinner. Come on. These kids, they're flying around the country. Not only have they never played a snap in the NFL, three of them won't play for the Panthers. And this guy damn near ran for 1,300 yards, scored 11 times, played in the Super Bowl. He's already on the team. Let's get him a dinner. If dinners are being handed out left and right.
Like Oprah, you get a dinner.
Let's go. You get a dinner. You get a dinner. You get a pro day. You get a pro day. All right. Brian Dutcher, head coach of San Diego State basketball, taking on Florida Atlantic in the Final Four. I can't believe I'm saying these words. He's coming up next on The Rich Eisen Show. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grangerwood Solutions and supplies and solutions for every industry. Granger is the right product for you. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. He is the head coach of San Diego State men's basketball, and they're taking on Florida Atlantic in the Final Four. Words I never thought I would say into a microphone. We had Dusty May of Florida Atlantic on yesterday to be fair and balanced. Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show is the head coach, Brian Dutcher. How you doing, coach?
Rich, I'm on top of the world. Great to be with you.
You know what? And here, part of this is, you know, it's a shocker. There's a show with my name on it, and this is a moment for me. I'm thrilled for you and to have you on, and that I can use this as an opportunity to tell you how happy you have made me for many, many years. I'm University of Michigan class of 1990, and I will never forget 1989, as I'm sure you don't either, being an assistant on that Steve Fisher coached team that cut down the nets in Seattle with Glenn Rice and everyone else. And I just wanted to say thank you to start off our interview as being part of that.
I appreciate that, Rich. I've had an incredible journey in coaching, whether it was helping Coach Fisher interim title win six straight games in the title, or the Fab Five, the first five freshmen to take a team to the championship game. A lot of fun experiences over my career.
So I'm just wondering, because it definitely struck me, knowing your background and knowing you and knowing, you know, again, the story of 1989 with Darian Trammell at the line, you know, with a foul being called late, and a lot of people are wondering if that really should be free throws here or not. Did the Ramil Robinson analogy at all strike you at any point in time?
I brought it up in the press conference. Huh. You know, I said, this is not the first game decided by free throws. 1989, Ramil Robinson got fouled. Yeah. And he made two free throws to win a national championship. So it happens in March. And We're grateful it happened to us,
yeah,
and that Darian was able to make at least one of the two and advances to the Final Four.
And by the way, I was a Michigan Daily reporter at the time, Coach, and I drew the short straw to close the newspaper that night because everyone else wanted to party and watch Seton Hall versus Michigan. And I was running like a salmon against the stream, you know, running to across campus. It was bedlam. It was truly one of the greatest moments of my life. And I'm wondering,
yeah, what basketball, you know, obviously changed over those years. We had, yeah, what, four juniors, a couple of seniors on the floor. You know,
yeah,
those players now are a year and into the NBA. And to have Glenn Rice, Ramil Robinson, Terry Mills, Loy Vaught.
That's right.
You know, all NBA players. You know, Eric Riley off the bench is an incredible run.
And where is Coach Fisher today? What's your conversations with him been like as you've gone on this magical run?
I saw him yesterday. Mark Fisher is still on staff. Obviously, a decade fight with ALS, and so Mark is still part of the program. Coach brings him in, and so I see Coach quite a few times a week, and it's great. He's a great mentor.
So what conversations do you have with him basketball-wise? Does he give you a couple of cents? Do you pick his brain? I mean, can you give me any insight into some of these conversations that you're willing to share?
You know, he's just the greatest guy in the world because he just is supportive. You know, you're doing all the right things. You're doing a great job, magnificent job handling your team. You know, it's not like, well, I think, Brian, you should X and O-wise do this or do that. I can get that occasionally from my dad, who is a former coach, gym director at the University of Minnesota.
And
so all I got to do is pick up the phone. There's always help. You know that in this business.
Don't forget Eastern Michigan. Don't forget Ypsilanti, Michigan, Coach.
Michigan, George Gervin. He had the Iceman there at Eastern Michigan.
Did he really?
I didn't know that. George Gervin at Eastern Michigan. So,
man.
And then my dad had, obviously, Kevin McHale, Michael Thompson.
With Minnesota.
Cliff Saunders, Ray Williams at University of Minnesota. So I've grown up very fortunate being a coach's son to kind of see a lot of great players over my life.
So I guess what's your first basketball memory, Brian Dutcher? What's that for
you? Probably riding on guys' shoulders at Bowen Fieldhouse at Eastern Michigan as a little adolescent, getting a shoulder right on top of the shoulders of the players, running around Bowen Fieldhouse, jumping on the porta pits, the track surrounded the court. So, you know, grow up around the game and just very fortunate to have been a part of it. Now I'm 63 years old.
Yeah, and in the Final Four with San Diego State taking on Florida Atlantic this coming weekend, and what have you already seen out of Florida Atlantic? What do you got for me already going into this Tuesday before the big Final Four contest on Saturday, Coach?
Winningest team in the country, deep like we are. You know, most teams shorten the bench this time of the year, but Florida Atlantic and the San Diego State Aztecs are deep, both nine deep, and unafraid to play all those players. And so we have to know everybody on that roster. We can't all of a sudden let a guy come off the bench and go for 15, 16 points because we don't know who he is. So we are doing a deep dive into their personnel,
mm-hmm,
and trying to do our best job preparing.
And so what do you, you know, it's interesting. I was speaking to Coach May yesterday, and he said some of his players are being recruited by other people, figuring that this is just, you know, a one-off here with Florida Atlantic. Are you experiencing anything similar? Obviously, San Diego State, way more established, and thanks to Coach Fisher, and then obviously what you've been able to do there and some of the players that have come through. I'm just wondering if you've experienced anything similar in this crazy NIL mixed-up transfer portal world, Coach.
You know, we probably have the lowest transfer rate of anybody in the country. You know, we don't lose a lot of players to the portal, and yet we go to the portal. Even before it was the portal, we've always had great success with transfers in our program over the years.
So then what do you attribute that you don't have guys transferring out of your program for the Aztecs, Coach?
You know, culture's overused, but just honesty. Tell them what it's going to be before they come here, and when they get here, be real in their expectations, and, you know, just be a good person and be honest. And most kids leave because they feel like you haven't been honest with them.
Brian Dutcher, San Diego State Aztecs, here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I know you were also open talking about, you know, potentially moving and how there's a lot of movement in the world between conferences. Do you think there's a Pac-12 opening for your school that your school may take? I know that you've got other fish to fry right now, but I figured if I have the moment here, I'd ask you, Coach.
you know, like most coaches, I don't really have a say in it, but I just know this is a great university with great athletic programs and a great Southern Cal location. And so I think we would be desirable for a lot of conferences. So whether that happens or not is at a level beyond me, but I think we would be a program that most schools would be interested or conferences if they were looking to expand.
Sure. Okay, Brian Dutcher here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's drop some names. Who have you heard from? Who have you heard from on this run here? Have you heard from Kawhi? Has he reached out? You got him?
I've not heard from Kawhi. I have heard from all five starting members of the Fab Five.
Yes, you have.
So, Juwan, Chris, Jalen, Jimmy, and Ray.
How about that?
You know, that's probably the most that people would know. I hear from a lot of old high school friends.
Okay, that's good. But all,
I don't have a big Rolodex.
The Fab Five has reached out to you to congratulate you all these years later.
Yeah. Well, if you're a coach and you do a good job, they're basically family members at that point. So I've heard from family, a lot of former players, both from San Diego State and Michigan over my years.
What's your favorite memory of the Fab Five era, Coach Dutcher? What do you got for me on that? Obviously, there's so many of them, but which one sticks for you in that?
Just the quiet moments, the brotherhood, they didn't even realize how young they were at the time. And just to see how they grew as a basketball team. And now the greatest satisfaction is what they're doing in their later life when the ball stops bouncing. To see the success they've enjoyed in every regard is just probably the most gratifying
thing. What do you mean by that they didn't know how young they were? What do you mean by that one, Coach?
Just, you know, like most kids, they think they know everything. You know, they're brash and they're on top of the world as young kids, and life is a great teacher. And to see them learn as they move through life, that at the time you think you're invincible, and obviously the world is your oyster. And now all of a sudden, just to see how they grow up, and Juwan's coaching now, Jalen enjoying great success in the media. If they were to look back at their younger selves, they'd probably say, as much as we thought we know a lot more now.
Did you get a lot of pressure, you and Coach Fisher, about, like, get those baggy shorts off them? You know, get this team a little bit more traditional. Did you?
I'm the
get
one that ordered the baggy shorts, so
okay.
I just thought it was a great recruiting tool. So I knew Michael Jordan was wearing a little bigger, and I brought the long shorts to Michigan, and that just shows you how long my career's gone.
Wait a minute.
In 1989, they wore those tight little ones.
Yeah.
And now, here we are, they're wearing the tight ones again.
What do you mean? By the way, didn't we, TJ, speak to Juwan about
Jalen and Chris?
Yeah, we said that.
About.
Like, you put it all out there to make sure that this was now, the long shorts look was actually cool and acceptable. And now they're rolling back. And didn't Juwan say they're showing too much thigh meat?
That was
days?
Me. I told the coach, I was like, I don't like all the thigh meat that these kids, because I grew up in that era.
Shorts
touching your knees. I don't need to see all that thigh out there. And
you know,
Juwan, Jalen, and Chris all agreed.
They have long shorts back then. They'd hike them down their waist, and now they roll them up because they're not short enough.
So what do you mean you ordered them? So, can you walk
me through? I said, I want 2 more inches on the length of the shorts. And they brought them, and I said, I want 2 more on top of that.
What?
So I ordered them bigger. Now, Jalen took another player's shorts that was on the team that was a larger size than he was supposed to have because he wanted his super size. So he switched with a center that wasn't playing on the team. So he obviously always had the bigger ones.
But why did you cut? Was it your idea or was it the group's idea to go long on the shorts?
I just knew it was trending in that direction.
Sure.
You know, there were other teams wearing longer shorts before the Fab Five. Obviously, it came more vogue because they wore them.
Mm-hmm.
But there were other college teams that were wearing shorts longer. And I think Michael Jordan started having longer shorts at that time a little bit.
Sure.
So
okay.
He was the trendsetter of the game back then.
So did you have to tell Coach Fisher you were doing this? Or did he have to give the blessing? You just said, I'm just going to go and order these things.
I just think I went and ordered them. I think I probably had said something in passing. And then obviously the short socks, that was them a year later. You know, they all went to the Galleria Mall when we were playing in Houston the sophomore year, and Ray Jackson found some, I think they were golf socks, like footies, and we were going to getting ready to play, and all the kids had sweatpants on. Coach doesn't pay attention to any of that sort of thing. But I'm like, why are we warming up in sweatpants? We never wear our sweatpants. Where they had hidden the short socks underneath the sweatpants. And then the game started, and all the Fab Five members had basically footy socks on under their tennis shoes. And Coach Fisher said after the game, I think, don't even know if he noticed, he said, the one thing I will tell you, we're either going to all wear short socks, or we're all going to wear long socks, but we're all going to wear the same way. And so he wasn't opposed to the short socks. He was opposed to them trying to stand out differently than anybody else.
I see.
So, and I think we brought black socks into vogue that second year. Oh. I was saying footies, but it was the black socks.
Sure. Yeah, the ankle.
This, as you know, was a seminal sports fashion moment. And again, I understand that in the grand scheme of things, what does that mean? It's about obviously relationships, and it's about growing, and it's about winning and all of that. But I mean, this was groundbreaking stuff. Yeah. Were you aware of it at the time, Coach, or no?
Yeah, the black socks. Yeah, that was groundbreaking because you couldn't find them after that. And then kids were wearing their dad's old black socks to wear with his suit just to have black socks. So like I said, I've been around long enough. I've seen fashion is trended in every direction, so if you can survive a fashion trend, you've survived in a business.
No, you certainly have, and you've survived and advanced all the way to the Final Four. Congratulations on that! And like I said, that 1989 run that you just started out at Michigan, and it was stunning. It was a stunning turn of events with Bill Frieder and Bo saying, "I want a Michigan man coaching a Michigan team," and all of a sudden, Steve Fisher and you and the rest of the staff were thrust into a major spotlight, and you cut down the nets. It's what the tournament's all about, and it gave me a lifetime memory, and I can't thank you enough. Seriously.
Yep, I appreciate that. And to this day, Glenn Rice is probably one of the greatest players I've ever been around. The run he had that year,
unreal,
and still holds the 6-game scoring record, I believe, was sensational. So Glenn Rice was as fine a player as you'll ever see in college basketball.
No question about it. And congrats on your run. And let's talk down the line. Greatly appreciate
it. Look forward to it, guys.
Send my best to Coach Fisher, please. Send my best.
I will do that.
Thank you. That's Brian Dutcher of San Diego State University basketball going to the Final Four with this team right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Coach has no idea what he meant to the culture. Like his place at any cookout is secured forever after finding out this knowledge that he's the one that brought in those long shorts, because that changed everything. Tell him, Brockman, like you just said, you went and bought shorts and socks immediately.
Immediately. You bought I probably still have them at somewhere in my mom's house. They were the ankle socks.
The ankle socks, yeah.
Black with the gray Nike swoosh.
And they said some of them even said Nike.
Some of them said Nike, and then other ones were just the gray swoosh, and it changed the game.
Wow.
I know we talked about steaks with Miles Sanders moments ago. For somebody in my position in this seat, when you hear an interview subject say words like, I'm the one who first ordered the shorts for the Fab Five, that is a figurative filet mignon that has been served up on my plate. I heard that, I'm like, I think I'm not even going, okay. Like we're on now. Like, this is what the next 5 minutes of this conversation is.
Like,
I looked at you. We looked at each other. Because I never thought about that. And again, we're going to be talking about the movie Air quite a bit. It's coming out. You know, you don't really think too much about what did go on between Nike and Michael Jordan for that story to, you know, come about, and for that relationship to come about and making a movie out of it. I never thought for a split second, who was the one who ordered the long shorts for the University of Michigan basketball program?
Never
thought about that origin, and it was him. Oh, I'm the one who first ordered the shorts for the Fab Five. Oh, really? Let me sink my teeth into this one. Now, I like my steak done medium rare, not medium well like you have graduated into, or charbroiled or whatever the heck Miles Sanders orders for his steak. But that was great.
That was amazing. That was great. That little nugget, man, like, holy.
And then amazing. The socks, the way that the socks were born.
Ray Jackson going to the mall.
At the Galleria Mall in Houston.
And they're hiding them from the coach.
Wherever if that store still exists, they should put velvet ropes around. They should landmark that mall.
Right?
Could just be a footlocker.
Right? You know what I mean? Could have been just... Oh, my gosh.
A national landmark.
I'm telling you, man, that 1989, that 1989, I'm sorry, Mike, I know. But seriously, for everybody's great sports moment, that means it's somebody else's. When you're talking team, obviously, if you're talking individuals, like golf, well, there's always, you know, if somebody wins, there's always somebody who doesn't. I will never forget that. Michigan in the 1989 season had a good basketball team, but wasn't one of the best. And if I'm not mistaken, if you want to look it up, go ahead. I believe we got waxed by Illinois to finish the Big Ten season. Waxed. And that was the, I think, the Kendall Gill Illinois team, if I'm not mistaken. The Lou Henson had a great Fighting Illini Big Ten team. And Michigan got smoked by them. And Bill Frieder said, I'm out. I'm going to take the job at Arizona State, but I'll coach Michigan in the tournament. And Bo Schembechler, who was the athletic director at the time, said, nah. He said, I want a Michigan man coaching a Michigan team. And, you know, what did that mean? Was he going to bring Cassie Russell, you know, who wasn't even on the staff? He gave it to Steve Fisher, who was technically a Michigan man all of, I think, 1 year. I think he had just been added to the Frieder staff that year.
You lost 89-73 to Illinois.
We got waxed.
Yeah.
And was that the Kendall Gill team?
In 89 would probably have to be.
I think so.
Nick Anderson, Kenny Battle.
They were ranked
Kendall
fourth.
Gill yeah, was Kendall on that Gill, team. Yeah. Marcus Liberty, if you remember.
They were
him.
Really good. And guess who Michigan saw in the Final Four or semifinal? Illinois.
The same Illinois team.
And Sean Higgins had the game of his life. And I'll never forget that run. It wasn't Glenn Rice in that game, I don't believe. It was Sean Higgins. And I will never forget that run. It was like, okay, I think Michigan was a 6 seed.
Now, well, Glenn had 28.
Glenn had 28.
Okay, so then
Higgins
was Glenn Rice.
He had 14 off the bench, though.
I think it was the big difference maker was Higgins.
Yeah, coming off the bench with 14.
Yeah. Kenny Battle at 29 for Illinois.
What a game that was. And then they took on Seton Hall. And it was one
that was a great game.
And PJ Carlissimo and that game. And
that was a great game.
And again, Ramil goes to the line. And here I am saying, hey, Coach Dutcher, were you thinking about Ramil? And he said, I mentioned it in the post-game press conference. Everyone's thinking, like, what a robbery on the foul at the end and the free throws being called, being given.
For those that don't know at home, Mike went to Seton Hall.
So,
just in case you're unaware.
You know, that was a great Final Four.
I will never forget that. Never.
No, you could have given us
And
that.
Brian Dutcher was an assistant on that team. Probably thrust into a role he didn't think he was going to be in. And now look at him. After Steve Fisher got bounced by Michigan and wound up here in Southern California after 1 year. I think he was an assistant for the Sacramento Kings for 1 year. Wound up here in Southern California, built the program. Kawhi Leonard's part of the program. And now look at them. What a story. Good Lord. I mean, Dustin, Coach May's story yesterday, being another Big Tenner, a student manager at Indiana. He got that job because there was a team doctor that knew Bob Knight and said, how about you mow my lawn? And you can be a student manager for Indiana. Now look at him. Mm-hmm. Unreal. God, I love this stuff.
I love
Did
stories.
I hear in my ear there's a vote going on right now?
Votes are happening.
For what? For the NFL?
All kinds of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. That's coming up next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial as well. We'll sneak in a phone call as we go out the door here on a fun Tuesday.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Monster.com can help you win your job hunt. If you are looking for a new gig, many of you might be. Thankfully, you don't have to put your resume anywhere. I hope you don't. Monster.com is there for you. Just put your resume on Monster.com and watch everything happen. The everything is we hope you do get the job. But the everything can be you being recruited the minute you put your resume on there. And the reason why is because employers are all over Monster.com, because Monster.com specializes in building the right teams for employers. So when you upload your resume to Monster.com, you can be recruited by those employers before they even post their job. And Monster.com then knows how to match you with those job fits that's best for you. And when you score the position, let's go with that one. Monster.com salary calculator ensures you're paid what you're worth. So it's all there. Just get ready. Put your resume on Monster.com and win your job hunt today. Monster.com. Jimmy in San Antonio, Jimmy. Before Chris Brockman Jimmy. Tells us about all the votes going down on rule changes and rules proposals at the NFL owners meeting. What's going on, Jimmy?
Come on, estás, hermano.
Yeah.
Hey, how many boats would Del Tufo have if the Dead Mother app took off?
Oh, wow. He'd be rich. Mike, what house did
it's
you say you'd be
called
living in
the Dead Mother app?
Tufo's Dead Mother
Jimmy.
App.
Hey, Mike, it's a woman. Jimmy.
Call your mother.
Jimmy, you might have just gotten a fantasy team. Are you writing down something on your
Dead Mother app? Del Tufo's Dead Mother app.
Well, my other fantasy team name was Nada Tepper.
Nada Tepper. Okay, I like it. What's on your mind?
Well, I have to do a little Texan pushback with RG3.
Okay.
I'll say what I think Brockman was thinking. RG3 is obviously tight with Lamar, possibly a little mouthpiece for the media because he doesn't have the agent, and he's 100% wrong about Carolina. They should never go for Lamar. If he's going to be an owner of an NFL team like Del Tufo is an owner,
nice.
Yeah, he needs to understand that Lamar is way overpriced for getting the number one pick in the draft that is significantly cheaper. Profit margin, boy. Come on.
Well, Jimmy, I hear you. I think he was saying if the ninth overall pick in the draft and next year's draft choice, you get somebody that you're not hoping you make the right decision on. That's his point. And I do agree that, you know, $200 million is it's a lot of cash, man. But Tepper can, you know, stroke the check is definitely for sure. And that's what I was telling him to do. And thanks for the call, Jimmy. Telling Tepper to stroke the check for pick up the check and scratch the card for Miles Sanders. Trying to get him a free dinner. All right, Chris.
Okay, Rich.
What's happening at the NFL? Annual meeting on these votes on rules changes and stuff like that. First of all, before you tell me, is this going to upset me? Am I going to get upset?
Yeah, probably.
Uh-oh.
First up, though, good news.
Ah, thank you.
According to Tom Pelissero, our buddy, players can now wear the number 0.
Okay.
Yeah. I like it.
I mean, that's cool.
That's good. It's no skin off anybody's.
I think that's cool.
You know what that means? It's just one more jersey to sell.
More jersey sales. And you can do the thing where, like, nobody believed in me, and that guy can wear number 0.
Okay.
0.0.
Very good.
All right, according to Albert.
By the way, do you put the word Wormser on the back of a 0 jersey?
That's pretty good.
Dean Wormser?
Well, it was.
Can you do that?
It was his grade point average was 0.
Understood. So, all right, what else you got?
NFL owners voted down the rules proposal on changing the punt to a touchback.
Ooh.
It was going to go to the 25-yard line. Tabled the proposal on changing the kickoff touchback.
But Albert says the rules proposal to make roughing the passer reviewable was
that's
voted
the one,
down.
Yeah, I was getting to that next. Voted down. Eagles to replace the onside kick on 4th and 20 was tabled. So it's still on the table, I guess, but. Roughing the passer reviewable voted down.
By the way, there's nothing but difference. But there's no difference between voted down. Tabled means what we'll just maybe look at it in May.
Yeah, we're going to talk about later.
I get it.
So they're giving you a short no instead of a quick
hold on.
Yes.
I need to know the exact verbiage here because I understand if the rule was you could ask this to be part of your challenge. Like you would throw a challenge flag on that should have been roughing. You didn't call it. They don't want that, and I understand that because they already did that with
pass interference.
Pass interference, and that was a total disaster. And so coaches never used the challenge flag because it was a total mess as to one officiating crew might see pass interference one way and one replay official might see it one way and then another would see it a totally different way and it wasn't uniform enough. I'm just saying replay assists should help it. Mm-hmm. And I understand that that might open it up to different interpretations between a different replay assist individual, but replay assist is coming from New York. You can have some consistency there. What else, Chris?
That's pretty much it. The split flow blocks was tabled also.
The what?
Split blow what?
Split flow blocks.
Okay, very good.
Proposal was to ban those.
All right.
Oh, block. Gotcha.
All right. Everything's kind of leaking out now, slowly but surely.
We need the replay assist, the eye in the sky that helps spot balls sometimes and helps make sure something's ruled properly of instant replay.
The Lions withdrew their proposal to make all personal fouls subject to coaches' challenges. So no new replay reviews for judgment calls.
Make it a challenge on personal fouls. Again, the 15-yard penalties are the issue, and replay assist is the way out of it. I totally get that they don't want a flag thrown for, you didn't call something, I'm throwing a flag so you can put a yellow flag down. My red challenge flag means you have to now throw a yellow flag. I understand why the league doesn't want to go there. But while a play has been completed and before the next play is snapped, there's enough time for you to take a look at something. There's certainly, we're on it in the playoffs, certainly about that ball is spotted 1 inch too far. That toe was on the line. You said it was a catch. Not a catch. Let's save everyone a challenge. Let's save everyone some time. Change the call on the field, and you could say after further review or whatever you want to call it. But it was, in fact, replay reviewed. Please put roughing the passer calls, ones that have been called, flags that are on the field. Let's make sure it's the proper one and use replay assist to tell the officials to pick the flag up. I've made myself clearly obvious on this one. That wraps up today's show. I want to thank Brian Dutcher of San Diego State and RG3 of ESPN. And Miles Sanders is going to get a dinner out of his chat with us. We'll chat on Wednesday.